But anyway, I thought she was an indigo child because, of course, she wouldn't fit into the school system at all. She has never been able to fit, like many other children. And so the story fits, you know. There's so many children out there now who doesn't fit at all. And so, well, don't worry. They are highly spiritually evolved. They are indigo children, and they will show us the way anyway. So that's the story, okay?
Wow.
Because it fits the theory of evolution, of, you know, spiritual evolution. Now, to come back to this Drenvalo Melchizedek guy at the Wisak Festival, now, he goes one step further, and he talks about the new super psychic children of China. I mean, everything in the New Age has a meaning, okay? Why China? Well, there's a very secret agenda to this declaration here. China is becoming the new world power, and according to a lot of secret sources and underground information, all the wealth and the power has been from America has been transferred to China, and this is why, by the way, all the manufacturing plant in the USA and in Canada, a lot of them have been transferred to China. Now, I'm not going to get into this whole political thing, but just to show you that everything is connected, you know, in the New Age. Like, you never, like, you have one piece of information like this one. Well, you know, there are those incredible psychic children now being born in China. Well, why is that? I mean, it's like almost a coded meaning. Like, everything is a coded information for the one who knows what is actually going on here. Like, you know, the regular public, they have no idea, you know, why would those children come from China, you know? But anyway, what he's saying about those children, and I've seen video, like, he's saying that they started in China and then eventually they started spreading all over the world, and those children are 100% psychic. Now, what does that mean? It just means that I've seen a video from this guy, Drenvalo Melchizedek, and this young girl was like a young teenager. She was actually a Mexican girl. And he took like a piece of a newspaper, a page of a newspaper, and he just like scrambled it all up and in his hand, and then he put it underneath her feet, and she had her eyes closed, and she was reading the newspaper through her feet. Okay, no, that's this sounds very crazy. Okay, but this is basically what he was saying, is that these children, of course, I mean, you know, we have. It's just a story. It's like one of those many fable and many out there, completely, you know, crazy story in the New Age. Is that, you know, I have never met anybody who has actually met one of those children, and this again is a way to reinforce the idea that, well, after the indigo children, now we have the super psychic children. So that means we really are getting close to enlightenment. The human race is really getting close to 2012, to being ascended as a collective consciousness. Like, I'm using New Age terminology here, okay, because knowingly and on purpose, you know, just to show you what the New Age is made of, you know, including the language and how everything is being organized and everything is being set up for people to, you know, to believe that stuff and to follow that.
They have to make something up, don't they? I mean, you know, the Lord is still doing tremendous miracles in the earth of deliverance and healing and creative miracles. And nothing like we're about to see, because the Lord's going to rub their noses in it, just like he did when Jesus came, you know, with mighty miracles and signs and wonders, you know. So they have to make something up to prove that their religion is worth something, you know.
Exactly, yeah. And it's interesting because, you know, Lucifer knows that the naturalness of man, the natural tendency of man is to worship God. And so he's been working really hard at pretending or appearing as being God himself. And this is how, this is what the deception is. This is how he has been able to have such a large following through the people of the New Age who have no idea that what they're following is actually Lucifer. They just have no idea. But this is the ultimate deception. You know, people think they are worshiping God when in fact they are worshiping Lucifer, because Lucifer knows that if he was to stand up and say, "Hey guys, I'm Lucifer, please worship me," you know, that wouldn't work. Except that more and more, as you said, David, and as I'm realizing, there is more and more people who are completely lost and who are openly choosing to worship him.
We have a vision on our site, a brother had, of a church full of Christians bowing down and worshiping towards the middle of the room at what they thought was Christ, and it was an angel of light in the vision. And, you know, if your Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible, and he doesn't believe the Bible, that's what Paul called another Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Another gospel.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting that, you know, the light thing, and I wanted to ask you about that because, you know, Lucifer, as you said earlier, is the morning star of the, what is, his name is, means like the light bearer, isn't that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of things about light in the New Age. You know, it's like you are welcome or greeted by somebody who will tell you, oh, you know, at the end of an email, they will say love and light, you know, or light is, you know, light is actually very, you know, it's like a formula that is being used a lot in the New Age. Now, is there anything, David, in the Bible that speak about God as being light?
Yes, God is light.
Okay. You see, I'm sorry, I'm so ignorant, I'm embarrassed, but
you'll have plenty of time to catch up.
I have been studying reading the Bible. I got myself, just so the people who are listening to me, they must think I'm a total whatever. I have got myself a numeric Bible, and I have been very inspired, you know, to read the Bible every day, and it's a tremendous blessing, because I can feel the power of the Holy Spirit as I read the Bible. I can feel it, and it really is very fulfilling and very inspiring to me. So, coming back to the Dark Age, you know, preparing this talk, David, I had to go through a lot of stuff here because I was, I had to remember a lot of those stories that I don't really want to remember, but I have to remember if I want to tell the story, and if I want to share the story, because this is bringing me back into the darkness. And so, you know, I expressed to you my fear about doing this, interview or, you know, giving my testimony. And, you know, basically because part of it is because I am tapping into the past, and I'm tapping into all those very dark, you know, those dark memories and dark beings. And so, that, you know, at the same time as I'm saying that, I am feeling full of the light, full of the light of God and the Holy Spirit as well. So, it is a wonderful opportunity for me, you know, as a statement to myself and as a statement to all of you people who are listening, that I have overcome the darkness and I am being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to thank you for the part that you've played in that, David, because obviously discovering your website was a huge part of it.
You're quite welcome. That's why we do it.
Yes.
You and I were both raised in the Catholic Church, and they weren't really impressed with the Bible or teaching us the Bible at the time, because they themselves didn't believe it was the totally inspired Word of God. But you shared your testimony with me about when you discovered numerics, how it opened your eyes to see what a great thing God had done.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of your website, and I started to realize that I had been completely deceived, because this was the major breakthrough and the opening. And it started to sink into me that I had been completely deceived all those years. I wept for several days, because I just couldn't stop weeping because of this discovery that I had been completely deceived, and that I had completely missed the boat, which was the Bible and the truth of God through the Bible. And when it really sunk into me so deep that I felt such a tremendous sadness of having spent half a century, in the dark corridor of the New Age and having missed. Because, I have been so passionate and driven to find God, and then to suddenly discover that I have completely been missing the boat all along was very, very intense for me.
But now God has prepared you to, even through the dark places that you went, to be a warning to others. So that's good.
Yeah, as I said before to you, David, I feel that I can only speculate that this is the purpose of having been lost, and I do feel that God has been with me all along, and He has protected me from destruction, and that I had to go through all of this so that I could speak about it, and this is the opportunity that you're giving me now is to do just that. And I am writing about the New Age, a lot of things that perhaps will become a book. And how much time do we have left, David? Because I want to talk about my Kundalini experience, but I have other things I want to talk to.
We have about 40 minutes.
40 minutes left?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe I should just get on with this experience that I had, because I don't want to miss that. It's an experience. I feel it's an important part of my testimony. And if you have time after that, I can come back to what I was sharing. So I thought that I would actually read this little portion of my testimony, which is about my Kundalini experience. I think it would give everybody a more accurate picture of the experience, instead of trying to find the words right now for it. Forgive me if I am going to be reading now. Is that okay, David?
Yes, that's fine. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So here's the part I am coming to now, and which is what I call the Kundalini experience. All of my spiritual discipline and intense mystic practices culminated a few years ago into a very powerful experience that is best described as a Kundalini experience. This would have been the point of no return and the end of me if it hadn't been for the protection of my Lord. As I am writing this, it is bringing tears to my eyes, because once again, the Lord protected me from destruction. I had been saved physically from being destroyed by the Lord, but this was, a few times in my life, but this was it was more about the destruction of my soul that I'm talking about here. The Kundalini energy is typically described as a powerful energy source lying dormant in the form of a coiled serpent at the base of the human spine. Now, this coiled serpent alone should raise some serious suspicion as for the real nature of what is involved here. Chinese worship the dragon, and Egyptian, Hindu, and Buddhist worship of the cobra, which is, as you know, a snake, called Naga, are all forms which Lucifer takes on. And then there's the Bible saying, and he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So I just put that quote in there just to show, of course, you Christian will know that, but I'm talking and writing about the New Age so that other New Age people can understand and relate to my story and experience. So I'm not only talking to Christian, but I'm talking to New Ager as well. So
let me say, you know, as you're going into this, that this Kundalini experience that he's speaking about is the Kundalini experience that's happening among the Kansas City prophets and among the movements of the false revival movement from Canada to Brownsville here in our city to Lakeland, Florida. This is the same thing that's causing that, same spirit that's invading Christianity that they think is so supernatural and must be God. Go ahead.
Exactly. I discovered that as I was studying the charismatic movement and reading about the many different denominations of Christianity, that the symptoms of what they're describing as being the Holy Spirit are very similar to the Kundalini symptom that arises from practices of from occult practices with yoga and meditation, and specifically, more specifically, Kundalini yoga, which is described, which is a kind of yoga that is specifically designed to activate the Kundalini fire, which is that energy that we're talking about here.
And that's the reason they always speak so much about the fire in the false revival movement.
Okay.
Every other word is fire, fire,
yeah.
Fire, you know?
Exactly.
They're
yeah.
calling forth, they're chanting forth their Kundalini spirit.
Yeah, and it is so similar. When this energy is activated through various practices, there is a tremendous power rushes moving up the spine that is called a Kundalini energy rush. Now, this is a real thing. It's a physical, bioenergetic experience. The fire of Kundalini awakening can be felt and experienced in as many ways as there are people, but it is always shattering and can be very dangerous. I know people who have been physically damaged and who have become permanently disabled, some with brain and nerves damage, never recovering after a Kundalini experience.
The same thing is happening in Christianity. Many of these people are dying before their time with various diseases and things, and people wonder, you know, how they went through this, what they called a great revival.
Really, yeah.
And yet these people have been damaged by it.
Wow. No, that's very interesting, because I didn't know that. But, yeah, it's exactly the same thing happening here. Practices such as Kundalini yoga involving intense breathing exercise and specific yoga postures are designed to open the Kundalini fire. Now, I'm not talking about breathing as a way to find relaxation and peace, because I have been teaching that in my work, actually, as a massage therapist, and I have been practicing that all along, but this is not the kind of breathing. You know, what I've been teaching and practicing is a natural kind of breathing, which helps people overcome stress and being, you know, more relaxed in their everyday lives. But these breathings are very, very specific kind of breathing, that very unnatural breathing, because they are techniques that you use to activate that Kundalini fire. In the most extreme case, people such as many Indian guru enter a profound altered state of consciousness where all sense of individuality is lost and a feeling of universal oneness prevail. That is right there. That is what everybody wants and desires, this experience of oneness in the New Age, I mean, this experience of universal oneness that is called Samadhi or Nirvana. This is the one experience every New Ager, mystic and Eastern disciples of Guru want and desire. It is called Samadhi or Nirvana, which is a state of ecstatic rapture. However, not all is well with the so-called blissful rapture. What people don't know is that once you have gone beyond the veil, which I almost did in my experience, into what I believe is the second heaven, I have read the book of Howard Pittman in the UBM website, and it is described in details, the second heaven as being the place of the dwelling place of demons. So what people don't know is that once you have gone beyond the veil into what I believe is the second heaven, you never return from such a trip alone. The second heaven is the resting place of legion and demons. People return changed, and they think it is because they had an enlightenment experience. Wouldn't you think that meeting God, little God with a little g, is a life-changing event? In reality, what you experience out there is a counterfeit Luciferian kingdom that feels and looks very much like heaven. How do we know this is not the real thing, the third heaven of the Bible, the true kingdom of God? We don't know. And that is why most people are fooled and think it is the real thing, but they come back on earth, the first heaven, with many, many dark entities attached to them. During the time leading up to my Kundalini experience, I had a very rigorous ascetic lifestyle. I was living like an hermit in a little cabin on a mountain surrounded by the Los Padres National Forest and overlooking the Ojai Valley in California. My diet was almost all raw, organic, vegetarian food and very little of it. I wasn't eating very much at all. And I had been conserving my sexual energy for the past year, for an entire year. I was celibate, and I had been recovering from a very painful breakup with a relationship. I was sleeping outside every night and walked barefoot in the surrounding hills. I was drinking a gallon of pure water every day, and I was juicing 3/4 of a liter of pure green juice from wild edible plants and vegetables. My body was so charged up with energy that I would often see sparks coming out of my fingers when I touched my car. Now, I was very electrical. The body is an electrical circuit. And what happened is that these practices that I was doing charged up with the body with what the Hindu call prana energy, which is energy, you know, universal energy. And this is the whole. I want you to know that I was not looking for a Kundalini experience. I couldn't care less about having a Kundalini experience. I was just doing my thing. I was just doing my spiritual practice as I understood I needed to do then to find God. Because, again, I was looking for God here. I was not looking for supernatural experience. So, but the end result of all those practices was that I had awakened this Kundalini energy in my body, because my body was so full of energy. I was sleeping very little. I was eating very little. I was very not being able to be in society very much, not being able to deal with people very much. I felt that people were very coarse, and I couldn't deal with people. I just couldn't. So I was living alone a lot of the time. And my body was so charged up with energy that often I would see spark coming out of my finger. Now, this is the truth. I'm not telling a story here. There was actual spark coming out of my finger. That is how much my body was charged with energy. I felt very sensitive, as I said, and was avoiding people as much as possible. Excuse me. I would spend many hours in quiet contemplation, feeling I had never before been so detached from the world. I felt surely I must be close to enlightenment, and indeed I was, poised at the doorway of another world, ready to unveil the mysteries. The Kundalini was raising, and my own experience was very intense and sudden. It came without warning. As I was sitting in meditation, I felt like a lightning bolt of energy permeating my whole being, but more specifically going up my spine and shooting up at the speed of light, like a rocket going through the top of my head. Now, it was difficult for me to put this experience into words because it is really indescribable, but this is the closest that I could find the words that I just used to describe the experience. I felt an explosion in my brain, an intense white light, and a powerful rush upwards that was taking me out of my body into the cosmos, the nothingness, the void, and there's a question mark there. I didn't know where I was going, but I was going somewhere. The whole thing only lasted a few seconds, or even just a split second, before I blocked it and refused to let myself go. I was so afraid to leave my body behind, not being able to come back into it, and find myself somewhere else, for sure, but where? I felt so strongly, if I go, I will surely die. I remembered story of people leaving their body consciously and dying, not being able to come back because they could not find their way back.
Because the silver cord broke,
what?
Right?
What was that?
The silver cord broke.
Yes, exactly, the silver cord. Well, oh my God, this is interesting. So tell me about the silver cord, David. Is it,
it is the connection of your spirit to this physical life, you know.
I know.
Solomon spoke about the silver cord breaking. In other words, snapping your connection to this physical life. And a lot of the occultic people believe in the silver cord and
yes,
that it can break. And they truly sometimes, like you say, don't come back.
Yeah. And I didn't know that this was a Christian biblical truth, the silver cord, because I heard about it many times in the New Age, and everybody speaks about the silver cord, but there's very little understanding of it, and most of it is completely distorted. Anyway, it's nice to hear that I'm discovering the Bible as I'm talking to you. It's nice to hear that it is actually something that is true and that comes from the Bible. I remember a story of people leaving their body consciously and dying, not being able to come back because they could not find their way back, or they had been convinced they were in paradise and and that there was no need to bother coming back. I was devastated. How could I block such an amazing experience that most mystics would just almost die to have, in bracket, pun intended. How could I not go along a journey that I thought would take me face to face with God? An experience I have wanted, worked for, and desire all my life, even though at that time I wasn't really looking for an actual Kundalini experience. I was looking to be with God. I was looking to meet God. I was looking to be close to God.
But it was God who warned you not to turn loose.
Exactly. I really felt that the reason why I didn't let myself go is because I was protected. How could I not go along a journey that I thought would... Oh, I already said that. Sorry. Where am I? Okay. Surely I felt I am such a spiritual fool. Because I could remember the energetic pathway in my body, as I said, it's the bioenergetic experience. So there are pathway that this energy takes in the body. I could remember that because I, you know, I was very sensitive. I am sensitive. So because I could remember the energetic pathway in my body like an imprint, I could recreate the experience at will when seated in meditation. I pray and I ask for protection, aware that I was playing in dangerous water. I didn't know yet at that time how many sharks there were waiting for me to dive. So I tried again and again to go with the flow, to use the typical New Age expression. But every time I blocked it, the same experience happened, but I just couldn't bring myself to go, thanks God. The last time I had this happening, I was sitting on the beach in Big Sur, California, with a friend. We were watching the sunset, all was peaceful, and I closed my eyes for a second. And suddenly, a shift happened in my brain, like a switch is being turned on. No energy going up the spine, no warning signs of any kind, as before. Just a sudden explosion in my brain with the rush upwards and the opening of a doorway at the top of my head into another world. For the last time, I blocked it and refused to leave. It never happened again because I closed that door permanently. Now, you know, as I'm talking to you, I am still trying to, ever since that happened to me, still trying to understand what really happened and the meaning of what this experience is. And I have been praying to the Lord and asking for His guidance. And I want to know, because there's too many people out there who are actually playing with that energy. The Hindu call this serpent energy Shakti.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Shakti is a goddess, a Hindu goddess, and she's the consort of Shiva. It's the feminine energy. And
we call her Jezebel.
You call what?
We call her Jezebel.
Jezebel. Okay. Yeah, I know that much. I know who Jezebel is.
She's the consort of the Kundalini spirit, because she goes ahead of the Kundalini spirit among the false revival movement and mm-hmm. the false prophets.
Yeah.
They see her as an angel.
Okay.
They think she's an angel of God, but
and it's a feminine. It's interesting that they too think it's a feminine entity.
Yes,
it's interesting because it really fits what the Hindu talks about. Now, I'm just thinking. I was thinking about this energy, and I'm thinking, well, would it be? I was speculating about it because I'm understanding a little bit about what this is really, having experienced it and having studied it and read about it. But I'm just wondering, David, is it possible that this power that is called the Kundalini energy is actually the life force, the vital life force, which is the creative life force of mankind, and that this life force is being put in the human body by God, and that it's been misused by the dark power. I mean, does that make sense?
Well, yeah. Satan wants to use the latent power of the soul. You know, he desires to use that. I mean, when the Lord created man in his own image, he molded the clay of the earth, and he breathed into it the breath of life, which is the same word for spirit, the spirit of life. Man became a living soul. Somewhat in the image of God, in that he is not an unpowerful creature. But through the fall, we've lost the power that Adam had as a clean, perfect creation of God. Because of following after the flesh rather than the spirit, we've lost the sense of the spirit and the sense of closeness to God. And, of course, men have desired to have that back, whether it be the true God or a false God. God uses us as vessels of His to impart His power in healing, in deliverance, in speech, to set the captives free, and so on and so forth. He does that. Satan also desires to harness the power of man and use man as a vessel. I had an experience similar to your Kundalini experience when I was younger. I had been caught up in religion, really the first religion I'd caught up in, and they talked me into accepting their oneness doctrine, and I received a demon from it. And one day when I was speaking with a man who once had the same spirit and was delivered from it and understood it, who was speaking to me scripture and I was speaking to him scripture, trying to talk him into it. I've shared this many times, when the Lord put it in my heart to drop my doctrine just for a moment to try to see this thing through this man's eyes, I thought, for the purpose of being better able to attack it, when I dropped this doctrine just for a moment to look at this from this man's eyes, a demon shot right out through the top of my head. Right. I felt it when it went. I knew what it was.
Uh-huh.
And of course, that demon was trying to harness me, or was harnessing me, to preach its doctrine and to do its works. And thank God I was delivered from that at a very, very young age in the Lord. I was only about a year old in the Lord. And so, yeah, I believe everything you're saying about Satan seeking to, you know, exalt his throne above the stars, which is, of course, Abraham's seed. That's Abraham's seed. That's the people of God. Above the stars of heaven, Abraham's seed. And so he wants to put his throne over the people of God. And to some extent, he is going to be successful, in that there is coming, in these coming days, a great falling away of people because of fear, because of a lack of faith in the Lord to preserve them. They're going to fall away to the one world order, the mark of the beast, so on and so forth. And he is going to exalt his throne above the harlot. The harlot is apostate Christianity and other things. But at any rate, he's going to be somewhat successful. You know, he has failed with you, Philippe. And he's failed with a lot of others, but that's not to mean he hasn't harnessed the power of some, many of what we call Christians. Jesus said, many are the called. And, of course, if you look up the word called, you'll discover it was never spoken to a people who was not saved. It was spoken to a people who were called the people of God. I called my son out of Egypt, you know. But the more the prophets spoke to them, the more they went from them. He says, so Jesus said, many are the called, but few are the chosen. The few that are chosen are the ones that the devil could not harness, because the Lord himself harnessed these people to be vessels through whom he would flow. And the many that are called that fell away to the devil are basically those in whom followed the flesh, were being harnessed of the devil to do his bidding, and so on.
It's interesting because I, as you were talking, I was thinking about, you know, how people are being deceived into believing that, you know, they're following the one true God, but in fact they are being deceived into following the dark forces and the dark powers and principalities you know, the to come back to my the Kundalini experience here, I have here some symptoms which you know, I felt that they were very similar to some of the things that the revival charismatic movement was experiencing. And among the most common manifestations are unmotivated and unnatural laughter, crying, talking tongues, imitating a variety of animal sounds and movements, being drunk on the divine, weeping, uncontrollable laughing and roaring, barking, hissing, crying, shaking. Now,
that's you know, that's, you're talking about the false revival. I mean, you're describing it perfectly. The symptoms of it, the signs of it, you know, is obviously Kundalini yoga.
Yeah, it is completely. It's the same symptoms. Many feel themselves being infused with feeling of great joy and peace and love. The interesting thing with this Kundalini Shakti, that the power of this energy that they call Shakti in the Hindu tradition, is that a guru can impart the Shakti, and it's called Shaktipat. And basically what they do is they touch devotee's head or some part of the body, and they transmit this Shakti, this energy, the energy of Shakti, which is called Shaktipat.
And that's why in the false revivals, the leaders want to lay hands on the heads of everyone there. They've been very insistent on doing that, and a lot of very foolish people are going there to let these people lay hands on their heads so that they can impart the Shaktipat.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't believe it when I read that in the, you know, in the charismatic movement. I just read what you said, that they're actually touching people to transfer the power of the holy laughter. Is that what they call it, holy laughter?
Yes, that's what they call it.
I thought, this is unbelievable. Anyway, same thing, same origin, same dark master, same work here, which is, you know, having many different avenues and way to express itself. But no, I'm not sure what I should be. Is there anything that you see, David, that I
Well, you know, I think it's, at this particular point, it's significant to say to anyone out there that you didn't receive any of that through Christianity. It was totally, you know, Eastern religious origin. And, you know, and you hadn't had the experience you've got now of Christianity. So I think it's significant that people out there would understand that this thing snuck into Christianity through a religion, which is the Assembly of God, who did not believe that Christians can receive demons. That's where it entered, which is a totally false doctrine, unbiblical to the core. And so it picked this particular religion to enter in, and because, of course, anything that happens to a Christian that's supernatural must be God, because it couldn't be demons. So it deceived them. And in turn, they opened their doors to all kinds of other religions that had more respect for them than they had, obviously, Kundalini Yoga, and thought, and this was being advertised as a revival and a great move of God. But of course, the symptoms were, and I call them symptoms because that's what they are, the symptoms were nothing like the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And yet these people fell into this because they had no respect for the Bible. That's why they fell into this. And so I just wanted to make that point before we went on, but I'd love to have you share more of your awakening to the Spirit of the Lord. How did this come about? What turned you about most recently to do this?
Okay. Well, over the last few years, I became very disillusioned with the New Age. I did an intense research about everything New Age and discovering and uncovering more and more of its deception. And there is a feeling of powerlessness and despair that comes from discovering that you've been following the wrong path. And this is pretty much where I find myself. You know, discovered that I had been deceived. And, you know, during the last few years, I have been coming closer and closer to Jesus as a natural thing, because, as I said before, it was always there, except that it was just buried in myself in all those years. But it was always there somewhere, that light of Jesus was there. And the prayer, I have a natural devotion to the Lord, and I have always felt devotional, very devoted to God. And I prayed to God the Father, and more actually than Jesus. And I don't know, I must say that the trigger that really shift everything was the discovery of your ministry, David, and UBM website. That was the major trigger. Because the one single, the most important article that was actually the trigger was the Bible code, the numeric Bible article. Like there's a few in there, like there's three or four articles bunched together there. And when I read that, something happened in myself, something shifted. And I discovered that that all those years I have been brainwashed to think that the Bible was not the Word of God, and that it had been changed and manipulated and distorted and all of that, that I never bothered to even open a Bible. I had never read a Bible before. And so when I read that, it really changed something in me. It really shifted something in me. And then I started reading your book. Online, I even bought myself a printer to print the Hidden Manna book. I ordered the God Sovereign book, which I have almost finished now. I'm almost to the end, and I'm reading at the same time I've been reading the Hidden Manna book and the other books online, as well as many, many articles on your website. And it's just one thing led to another. And I just completely, you know, during that short time of discovering all of that, just completely realigned myself, or just to simply align myself and open myself to truly invite Jesus Christ in my heart, and having this experience of incredible sadness at first, because you know, the sadness of discovering that I had been missing the boat all those years, and the sadness of discovering I had been deceived. And then so I had an intense repentance experience. I was I was repenting, basically. I was asking God forgiveness. And this was during those few days. I was weeping almost all the time for a few days. And I was reviewing all the things that I had done that was sin. This idea of sin, you know, that we are being taught, that I had been taught in my childhood, I never really believed it. I had never walked the path of the Christian path. I thought myself being a Christian, but I wasn't really. Because I wasn't abiding and following the commandment of the Bible. So, you know, a big part of the process was here to actually look at all my sins and my way of life, basically, which, you know, specifically my relationship with women. And I had many, many relationships in my life. And you know, to discover the truth about what is, in the eyes of the Lord, what is right and biblical and what we are told in the Bible is obviously not what I had been doing all my life.
Well, isn't that how we know that this is a false God that people are seeking after? That God does not demand holiness, repentance, righteous living. He seems to say, it's okay, I can give you these ecstatic experiences, I can give you nirvana, I can give you all this, and I don't demand or even talk about being holy. And yet, you know, when you read the Bible, the only book out there that has this perfect numeric pattern that only God could write, he demands repentance, holy living, righteous living, loving your neighbor, and all these things.
And I just review. I was going through all the things that I had been doing in my life, thinking I was spiritual and holy, and discovering that I was the worst sinner on earth. I did, there was time in my life, especially that time when I was describing my Kundalini experience. I was living in that little cabin up there. I had been celibate for a long time. I had been celibate my last few years at the time, so it's not like I was always in a relationship. And I had that sense of what the Bible teaches us about being, following the teachings of how we should behave between men and women. And I had that sense. It was just an inner knowing, and this is why I had choose in those times to not engage in relationship, especially, not being married, and to keep to myself, to be cultivating this spirit of purity and truth. So I was not a total stranger to that, because I had experienced, a little bit of it at times, and actually, long periods of time. But of course, I would fall back into, getting involved again into a relationship and going through the whole cycle again. So the repentance part was a big part of my awakening into the understanding of what it is to be a Christian. And then shortly after that, of course I've thought about basically this awakening just brought me into wanting to question and understand more and more my experience in the New Age. And so I have been very involved in shortly after this time of repentance and opening up myself to the Holy Spirit and asking you, getting in touch with you, David, asking some question actually to your ministry about relationship, actually, because that has been my main challenges as a New Ager. I have been working at writing about my experience, and this is why I've been wanting to get in touch with you and share with you what these experiences were about, and so that other people can benefit from it.
Amen. Amen. We appreciate you coming and sharing that with us, and very good, very good. And we're so glad that you're on the highway of holiness, and we pray God's peace on you, and we pray God fill you with His Holy Spirit, and, you know, impart wisdom and knowledge to you out of his new covenant. And we know he's going to do that. We praise God for it. And let me tell everybody out there that we're putting together Philippe's testimony. And we're going to put it on the site under Revelations and Teachings. And one of the subsections is about cults and the occult. And we're going to put Philippe's testimony there. And we thank you so much for being with us, Philippe. God bless you.
Well, this was a real pleasure, David, to be sharing with you and all of you UBM people. I was very nervous to start with because of my, feeling that I am, you know, very ignorant of the scriptures, and I was thinking, well, how am I going to be addressing a company of Christians without even knowing anything about the Bible?
Well, you brought some enlightening things forth, you know, that Christians don't usually get into, and sometimes that they don't know is actually invading their space. And so that's good. That's good.
There's one more thing I would like to, like, talking directly to anybody who is listening out there, and that is that I am living here in a New Age community, and it is difficult, to say the least, and I am longing to be in fellowship with Christ's disciple, and I... considering I'm going to be working here until October, and I'm considering I'm going to be free the whole winter because my work here is seasonal, but I'm really looking forward to meet some community, some real Christian community out there, wherever it is, and perhaps I am also thinking about relocating. I'm open to any of you writing to me through UBM, and if there is any, you know, I would love to come and visit some of you guys out there in your own Christian community, and be nurtured and with your faith, and participate in anything that is of the Lord, and
We'll pray for you for that, that the Lord will guide your steps into good fellowship, and we have run out of time here, so we're gonna have to say goodbye. Thank you so much for
that. Right.
God bless you.
Okay. God bless everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye bye.